Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Getting you set for Sunday's battle between Kansas City and San Francisco. Presented by Blake Street Tavern. Here's 1043thefan.com's Cecil Lammy.
Yeah, we'll be in Miami. Showing off my lighter, or my light on my phone, watching Guns N' Roses on Friday night. And oh yeah, the Super Bowl on Sunday. James Merrillat, 1043thefan.com. James, good evening, brother. Before we jump into the meat of the conversation, are you a Guns N' Roses guy?
Oh, heck yeah. That's my era, man. I'm class of 91 for high school, so Guns N' Roses probably hit kind of, I don't know, maybe my sophomore, junior year in high school, and went through college. If I'm getting my dates about right, heck yeah, that was Paradise City and all that stuff. That was right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah. And I saw him at Mile High a couple of years ago, and it was Slash back, and Axl's all fat, but like I am, but hey, can still sing. So there you go.
Yeah.
I was thinking Axl of guys
trying,
our
Axl
age.
Axl trying to run around and do the show like he used to, though, is from what I hear, is kind of depressing.
Yeah. He's just don't run around. Don't run around on stage.
Yeah.
But anyway, exactly. James Merrillat, why you always put yourself through this, brother? I must say, whether it's 60 and 60, whether it's the 2020 retrospective, 20 greatest Broncos players in the 2000s. Before I get to the list, and number one, of course, but why? This, why do you subject yourself to this? This has to be an insane list to go through when you're trying to find the 20 greatest players over the last 20 years.
You know, I think it's just because I love putting together a list. I had so much fun. Both I did the Nuggets and the Broncos. Johnny did the Rockies and the Avs. And so, you know, just going back through all those old Nuggets memories and going season by season and kind of seeing, oh, who was their leading scorer that year and who did what, is a ton of fun for the Broncos. I love going back through the history and kind of trying to remember seasons and who stood out. So I love the history of these teams. You know, I grew up here, been a fan since I was, you know, 5-6 years old of all of these teams. So since the late 70s, and I just love the history of them. Look at it, whether it's all 60 years of Broncos memories, which for me was, you know, tapping into people like my grandpa and my dad and people who were watching games before I was born. And then, you know, I'm old enough that I've seen a lot of these guys myself, but certainly the last 20 years I've covered all these teams. So it's just a fun walk down memory lane. Look, it's an inexact science, so I'm never going to be offended if people don't agree with what I say. To me, that's part of the fun. Like I love when people come back and say, how could you not put in DJ Williams? And I sit there and go, oh yeah, man, DJ was pretty good. Like he made an impact. He did this, he did that. And I start remembering the play down in Miami during the Tebow run that he got the sack late and the strip fumble. And that to me is what makes it cool. So, you know, look, there's no right or wrong answer other than obviously Peyton was number one on this one. That anybody else would have been a wrong answer. I just love the process of it. I love thinking back on all the good times that pretty much all of those guys gave me and my family watching the game. So, man, it's fun. A little criticism, a little back and forth. Maybe I got a little East Coast in me. That's I don't dislike that. I actually kind of enjoy it.
Well, I love the top 10, and specifically Smoke Dog Al Wilson at 6, but Trevor Price at 5. How was it putting those two together? You know, after the big guys, because everyone could say Peyton 1, Vaughn 2, right? Champ 3. You've got Demaryius at 4, but I look at Trevor Price at 5, Al Wilson at 6. I love that, man. And to kind of refocus people on just how dominant specifically Trevor Price was early on with his Broncos career.
Yeah, and those guys, I could have easily flip-flopped them, and I could have made the argument either way. So both of them fall into that category of very underappreciated. The fact that neither one of those guys is a Ring of Famer is kind of a joke. You know, Al Wilson, I think, made 5 Pro Bowls. He's made the most Pro Bowls of any Broncos player in history, not in the Ring of Fame. But Trevor Price, and I don't have it in front of me, but I think he had 63.5 career sacks or something like that.
He 64 had sacks, and he had 40.5 as a Bronco.
There you go. So big, big numbers. And he did that primarily playing interior defensive line. Now, you know, moving around a little bit and sometimes on the outside, but you know, he's listed as a defensive tackle, playing on the inside a lot, to put up those kind of sack numbers. I mean, we all got excited this year when Derek Wolfe put up, what would he end up with, 7, 8, had his highest number as a Bronco.
Right.
Trevor Price did that on an annual basis. It was every single season he was putting up those kind of numbers. So just a dominant player on the middle of the defensive line. Both those guys, very underappreciated. You think back to those teams, and we all, you know, look back the early 2000s, and it was, you know, the Mike Shanahan offenses, it was Jake Plummer, and it was Clinton Portis, and it was, you know, Rod Smith and all those guys. Man, they had some talent on defense, especially after the Portis trade, when they had, you know, Price up front, Wilson in the middle, Champ Bailey at corner. You know, they start bringing in guys like Dawkins and John Lynch, and man, just all sorts of talent on that defense. It's you kind of look at that, you start going, man, how did they not win more games out of Mike Shanahan ever get fired?
Right. And I'll answer that by saying Peyton Manning as a Colt in the playoffs.
Like that. Well, yeah, you're right. And I was in the building for both of those games.
Mm-hmm.
I was working for the team at the time, so I'm down on the field covering the games. Both those Broncos teams that lost to the Colts, very good teams. They just got out there in the RCA Dome in that environment, the loudest place I'd ever been. And it only sat like 64,000, but it was so loud.
Right.
On that carpet, and that Colts team was so fast. Marvin Harrison was unstoppable. Yeah, it was like that was their kryptonite. You're right. I think, you know, they went up there 1 year, and I think Quentin Griffin had a big game, and it kind of made everybody think, oh, they can beat the Colts, and they go up 3 or 4 weeks later in the playoffs and just get boat raced. So,
yeah.
You know, Peyton had a way of finding Rock Alexander and exploiting him if you were going to try and start a guy like that in a playoff game. But they're really good teams. And that's the other part of it I kind of enjoyed, Cecil, is, look, it's easy to come up with all the guys from Super Bowl 50, even
right.
Super Bowl 48,
right.
That 2005 AFC title game. I get it. Those are great teams. And when you win a championship, that means you're in a different stratosphere. I understand it. But sometimes you can have a very good team, a very entertaining team. In hindsight, it was a teams that were a lot of fun to watch with a lot of good dudes that you really, really liked. And they lost in the divisional round or the wild card round or whatever. You know, it's still disappointing, but it doesn't diminish from the fact that, hey, those were fun teams. And, man, right now, wouldn't we take the playoffs on the road? I think we'd take that in a heartbeat.
Take it all day and twice on Sundays, literally. James Merrill at 1043thefan.com. Super quick, James, just because I love him, but I'm sure in this outrage culture that we have today, people have gotten to you about Julius Thomas. How can you have Julius Thomas at 14?
Well, I mean, how have they done in replacing Julius Thomas since he left? You know, I mean, people, it's kind of a catch-22, right? People say, oh, he's a byproduct of Peyton Manning. What did he do when he went to Jacksonville and Miami? Well, what have the Broncos done at that position since Julius Thomas left? They've been searching for an answer,
right,
to the point where they drafted a guy in the first round this past year that, you know what, I think Noah Fant's going to be a really good player. And would it shock me if at some point he's as good as Julius Thomas? No, it wouldn't at all. But those 2 years when he scored 24 touchdowns, that's pretty remarkable in a 2-year stretch for a tight end. That offense was prolific. And look, they had a lot of good players, Demarius and Decker and obviously Peyton. But the tight end and what he brought to the field and just the mismatches that he could create and Peyton's ability to exploit it, Julius Thomas made that offense go from really, really good to great. And I think when he left, we all saw that impact for sure.
He's James Merrill at 1043thefan.com. Check out all of his work on our website. Also sign up for the Denver Sports Daily. All the top Denver sports news hot and fresh to your inbox every single morning for free. It is our Denver Sports Daily newsletter, 1043thefan.com. By the way, James, before I let you out of here, appreciate your time as always, brother. Did you crack a smile when I sent that email? I was so happy. I was like, I wrote 1,700 words on the XFL. I don't know if you've pored over it yet, but I was like, I was pretty proud of that. I was like, wow, because I got into it, and then I really got into it. I was like, wow, I love the XFL, I guess.
I saw that, and I said, only Cecil. Only Cecil could put that together. So, no, it'll be a great piece of content for the site tomorrow. If people that subscribe to the Daily will get it about 7:30, they can click through to it. So that's why you're the best at what you do, man. 1,700 words on the XFL, that's impressive.
And I cut some out, too. Anyway, all right. James,
well,
I appreciate you, my man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Cecil. Thanks for having me on.
You work hard for your business, so should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.